A rare man or woman will have tremendous impact on planet Earth in a very short amount of time. I'll use a man in the 1800s as an example, but there are others. This particular man went out into the woods and said, "I'm not coming back until I find God." Now the reason why this man affected 500,000 people in a few years is that he took it all very seriously. That was his attitude. He went out into the woods and started crying out to God. At one point he got the sense that somebody might be in the woods watching him and overhear him. He got embarrassed that someone might think that he was making a fool of himself and stopped crying out to God. Then something inside of him said, "No, I'm not backing down. Who cares if a mere mortal of flesh and blood, 98% carbon and water, how they say it on Star Trek, a great big ugly bag of mostly water, who cares if a great big bag of ugly bag of mostly water overhears me talking to the immortal God? That's his problem, not mine." Then he raised his voice to God again, shamelessly. That kind of attitude is what God honors. Without that kind of attitude, we're just playing a game with ourselves. We're just going to make ourselves miserable. Going halfway with anything that has to do with God is a major mistake. We are of all men most pitiable if we go halfway with anything that has to do with God and eternity. The fool that begins his tower and builds it halfway has only created a monument to his own foolishness for all the world to see. He would be better off not starting it. I wish that you were either hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you or spit you out of my mouth, Jesus said. What I'm saying is, you know if you've really met God or if you're just striving with things about God and concepts and distant sorts of things for God. You know if you made your true home in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, John 15. You know if the Spirit truly testifies with your spirit, Abba. Has the Spirit of God shed abroad His love into your heart, Romans 5, in a way that's unexplainable? Or is it just something that you see as an idea and a goal? Is it simply a concept or a current experience so real that we didn't even need to read about it in the Scriptures, since we too share the same experience of which Paul wrote? Is it real, or do we simply strive to put the pieces in the right place and do the good Christian life thing? No one would want to say of you in absolute terms that you haven't had a revelation of God, even if there's considerable distressing evidence by the way that you live. Yet we can know whether we've personally met God or if we're just participating in religious exercises. God, like that man in the woods did. We know nothing and we are nothing. Read Romans chapter 1 through 3 and consider them talking to you. Then you'll be ready for the power of Romans 6 and 8. The man we referred to earlier that went on to change over 500,000 lives was a leader of a church, and according to the religious world standard, he had all kinds of good things going for him. He was an attorney with great intellect. He knew the Scriptures backwards and forwards. But he was honest enough to say, "I don't know God." He was painfully honest to people around him, too. He'd go to prayer meetings at this church he was a part of, for example. He'd stand up in the end and say, "You guys are wasting your breath. You're praying prayers into the air. I've been here for a long time, and I'm not seeing these prayers being answered. You guys are only kidding yourselves." He was just that honest with other people, and he was just that honest with himself. The man wouldn't play the game. He had to have reality, or he wanted nothing. That's the attitude we must have to find God, the true God. We begin where the Beatitudes begin, poor in spirit. There must be a recognition and a declaration of our empty souls apart from a living God. Without pride, without defense, without any need to justify ourselves, without a need to point fingers or compare ourselves to other people or point out the good things we've done or the things that we know, we're just on our face before God. There was something in a CompuServe that went out fairly recently, and it was a quote that said something like, "There's nothing so dear to a man as his own unblameableness." And I know that's true. I feel it in my own bones, my own unblameableness. There's a battle, a war that goes on in each of us, that we just don't want to be blamed. We don't want to take responsibility. The words, "I am sorry, I was wrong," nearly always have to have a "yeah, but" attached to them. I mean, it's always just right on the tip of our tongue, ready to jump out of our mouth as fast as anything could. But the reason why is, instead of I am terribly sorry. Please forgive me. I take total responsibility. No joke, it's my fault. There's nothing so dear to a man as his own sense of unblameableness. And that is a shame, and that is a major obstacle to having a revelation of Jesus of Nazareth, to being filled with the Spirit of the living God rather than just an empty shell wandering around trying to do good things and trying desperately to live the good Christian life and being frustrated by how little we're really able to do it. We've got to start by being poor in spirit and renounce our unblameableness once and for all. We are blamable, and we need to admit it and act that way and live that way. We're just on our face before God. That's got to be the starting place. Poverty of spirit and recognition of our need for the true God. It is such a temptation to pump ourselves up with things about God, or pump ourselves up with food, or pump ourselves up with clothing, or pump ourselves up with other kinds of material blessings, or with entertainment, or with academic pride, or some other sort of thing, or physical health, or physical activity, or whatever. It's such a temptation to fill ourselves up with how good we are with thus and such, and how we're not as bad as so-and-so, and all that kind of nonsense. And as long as we're pumping ourselves up with the opium, with the heroin, of all this other garbage about what good people we are and all the things that we do, we've dulled all of our senses with all this other junk all the time. We don't have time to be impoverished in spirit in order to find God, because we're pumping ourselves up with junk all the time, filling our time, filling our senses with junk. And if we're going to do that, we're never really going to be all that God wants us to be. And the gates of hell will prevail in our personal lives, and the gates of hell will prevail in any church that's built that way rather than totally sold out to one another and to God.